السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأسفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. My dear brothers and respected elders, honorable ulama, one of the things which concerns most Muslims, or rather most responsible Muslims, when they look at the present crisis and the situation of Muslims throughout the world, is their disunity. Anyone with any insight, understanding, vision of anything, when we see what's happening to Muslims across the world today and what has happened throughout the century, disunity can easily be considered as the root and the main cause of what's happened to Muslims. Or rather the suffering, the difficulties, the loss that the Muslims have gone through. You ask any ordinary Muslim, everyone will tell you, we want to be united. Nobody likes disunity. Everybody wants to be united. Everybody wants to see everyone united. We long for unity. We pray for unity. Unfortunately and sadly, the disunity which is there, you and I, we have not been responsible for creating that disunity. Most of us have just inherited it. When we see what's happening, all the various different sects, divisions, some of which have existed for almost 1400 years. The greatest division of Muslims in this ummah has been the Sunni-Shia divide. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself stated in a clear and famous hadith, while describing the situation of the ummah, he compared this ummah to the previous nations and said, "Ya'ti ala ummati kama ata ala bani Israel hadwan na'al bin na'al." Just as one shoe is a total reflection of the other shoe, when you try and put one back to back, it will fit exactly and totally on the other shoe. Similarly, this ummah will follow in the footsteps of Bani Israel. And then Rasulullah went on to say something which sends shivers down the spines of people. Then he said, "Hatta in kana minhum man ata ummahu alaniyatan lakana fi ummati man yasna'u dhalik." If there was any man who humiliated, disgraced himself with his mother openly, there will definitely be a man in this ummah to do the same. They were divided into 72 sects, this ummah will become divided into 73. They will all go to Jahannam, except one. And Sahaba inquired, "Ya Rasulullah, who is that fortunate one?" And the Prophet said, "Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi," those who are on my path and the path of my companions. In another narration, the Prophet said, "Man yashi minkum ba'di fasayyara ikhtilafan kathira." O people, those who live after me will witness great disputes. So what should you do? "Fa'alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i rashidin al-madiyin." Then in such times, follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. Hold on to it. Tamassaku biha, with it. Meaning the sunnah of the khulafa is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tamassaku biha wa addu alayha bin nawajiz. Hold on to it and bite it tightly with your molars. Don't let it go under any circumstances. We, alhamdulillah, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are very accommodating. Our hearts and arms are open for anybody who wants to be united. But you have to have unity on principles. You can't just be united with anything. There have to be principles to unite upon. You can't mix water with fire. Can you, just to be united? You have to have unity under some principles. And we are happy to be united with anybody. As Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has stated, he's dedicated a whole chapter to this. He says, Bab, naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. We have come 1400 years down the line. There is a whole ummah which began with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abu Bakr was behind him. Umar was behind Abu Bakr. Usman was behind him. Ali radiallahu anhu was behind him. And then Hazrat Hassan, Amir Muawiyah, Hazrat Hussein. And then the ummah followed by great a'imma, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Followed by Muhaddithin, Imam Mustahideen. Salaf-Salihin, we are 1400 years down the line. And if we had any akal, any sense, we will get in the line and behave as though we are 1400 years down the line. This is what Imam Bukhari says. Many a people, they want to pick and choose. They want to jump straight to Bukhari and then directly behind Rasulullah. They are abandoning the entire history of Islamic scholarship. Many, they want to go and they only want to pick and choose the family of Rasulullah. They want to ditch Abu Bakr, ditch Umar, ditch Usman, ditch what Ali did, the entire history of Islam. And how can you possibly be united with such philosophy? We are prepared to accept the whole package. So what more do you expect? What more do you want? Whose heart can be more open than that? How far more can we stretch our arms? We are prepared to accept everybody, but others want to pick and choose. How can you be united? Allah says, وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Yes, hold on to the rope of Allah collectively. Don't cause disunity. Why are you Muslims today? How many of you sitting here have done thorough research, were born in kufr and then accepted Islam, chose Islam to be your deen because of your conscientious decision? How many here? Anybody? Why are you all Muslims then? Because your ancestors were Muslims, basically. So if everything that your ancestors did is bad, then even Islam should be bad. So you are Muslims because your ancestors were Muslims. So everything your ancestors did is not bad. The Quran condemns the behavior of the kuffar of Makkah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. When they were told to follow Allah, whatever Allah revealed, they would say, we follow our ancestors. They justified the decision of their ancestors to deny Allah's cause. We accept this. Whatever our ancestors have given us in order to follow Allah. There is a difference. As one of the grand ulama of this ummah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, was once giving a dars, a lesson. Somebody came along, Imam, stop this nonsense. This qiyas business, shaitan was the first. He justified his qiyas in order to reject Allah. Imam sahab rahimahullah calmly replied, calm down young man. Iblis did qiyas in order to refute, rebel, deny Allah. We are doing this in order to obey Allah. Fulfill Allah's will. So we, alhamdulillah, are all encompassing. We, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, take our deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Rasulullah preached it to Sahaba, as the Khulafa Rashideen, Tabi'een, Imam Mustahideen, Salaf Salihin, Muhaddiseen, Mufassirin, 1400 years down the line, we accept everybody. Many people, they say Islam stopped 1200 years ago when a 5-year-old boy vanished into a cave, taking the deen with him, taken Quran with him. He's been hiding in a cave 1200 years. So what's been happening to the Ummah since then? Are we not all Muslims? If Imam was essential and deen was passed on only to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Maulana was saying, they say that deen was at the family of Rasulullah were oppressed. That's only part of their claim. The main claim is that only the family of Rasulullah know deen. If only the family of Rasulullah know deen, then what did Rasulullah do in those 23 years? When Allah commanded Rasulullah, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah said, O my beloved Prophet, I have revealed upon you, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. We have revealed dhikr, Quran, deen upon you. لَتُبَيِّنَا. So you make it clear, you explain, open everything. Who for who? لِلنَّاسِ. For all the people. So they say, oh, only Ali radiallahu anhu, only he, Rasulullah, was very kind to him and taught him special. And on the last day of the Prophet's life, he taught him 1,000 chapters, 1,000 ulooms, each with 1,000 chapters. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 chapters Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Hazrat Ali on the last day of his life. What did Rasulullah teach him that all those years before? And why didn't he teach anybody else anything? And if that is the case, where did Ali radiallahu anhu keep that knowledge? They say Sunnis, they take from Abu Huraira, Abdullah bin Umar, Aisha and others radiallahu anhum, but they don't take anything from the Ahl Bayt. What is wrong with the Ahl Bayt? We say there is nothing wrong with the Ahl Bayt. If we don't take anything from the Ahl Bayt, what have you taken from the Ahl Bayt? In Shia books, there's hardly any narration from Hazrat Ali, from Hazrat Hassan. When Allah revealed the verses in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. The ayat implies, refers to Ahl Bayt, which are fundamentally and essentially the families of Rasulullah, implying all his wives, first and foremost. In the Quran, the word Ahl Bayt is used to describe wives of prophets fundamentally, primarily. Allah has mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran. We are all ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah has commanded Rasulullah even in the Quran. Wa awhayna, this is verse from Quran, not a weak hadith from Fazal-e Amal. Many people are allergic to Fazal-e Amal. Don't think I'm criticizing Fazal-e Amal. No, Fazal-e Amal, alhamdulillah, is a wonderful book. Allah inspired Shaykhul Hadith rahimahullah to write this book. He in one of the masajid, somebody wrote, burn this book. And when they wrote, our Tabligh brothers mentioned it to the Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib was a Pathan. I don't know if the Gujaratis know Pathans or the community here. Pathans are Pathans, mashallah. And he said, who's written this? And the guy said, he owned up. He said, I wrote on this. He said, why? Because there are Zaif Hadith in Fazal-e Amal. So he said, So burn this book. So, read Bukhari. Well, Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah, he taught Bukhari 50 years. Alhamdulillah. He knew Bukhari, not just from beginning to end, but back to front, upside down, top to bottom, inside out. And his students know Bukhari inside out. Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah, one of the greatest muhaddisun of recent times, has written a commentary on Bukhari in 24 volumes. He knew Bukhari as well. He's written a commentary on just the headings of Bukhari, the Abwab, in 6 volumes. So he just copied and pasted from Bukhari, Muslim, and hundreds of verses of Quran are in there as well, with many sahih hadiths. And from Bukhari, Muslim and other books, yes, we agree, there are some weak hadiths in there as well. Perhaps according to some people, more than their fair share. But he hasn't made them up. He's only put down what others have written. Imam Tirmidhi, Nisai, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah and others. So if you're going to start burning a book because it contains zaif hadiths, you'll have to start from Tirmidhi. And also Imam Bukhari's other works as well. Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nisai, Ibn Majah, you'll be hardly left with anything. So you'll be burning almost 90% of deen. Allahu Akbar. But may Allah guide us all to the right path. What was I saying before that? This is because of that. What was the ayat of Quran did I mention? وَيُطَحِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ. MashaAllah, just seeing if you're awake. At least someone is awake. So when Allah revealed these verses, there are in the Quran, Allah has mentioned the Ahlul Bayt. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is one of the mighty messengers of Allah. Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِيَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. We have told you, even O my beloved Prophet, to remain on the footsteps, to follow the millat. أَنِتَّبِي ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. We have revealed upon you, who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَنِتَّبِي. You should follow. مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Follow the millat of Ibrahim. Rasulullah said, أَنَا دَعْوَةُ أَبِي Ibrahim. I'm the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim. We are all the result of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam lived his life praying to Allah, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Ya Allah, give me a pious son. He grew old. Then eventually Allah blessed him with a son, Ismail alayhi salam. And then Allah said, now slaughter him. Allah showed him a dream. We all heard the dream last week. We all marked his achievement, his dedication to Allah by making sacrifices. And Allah showed him the dream that he was slaughtering. So he said to his son, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. O son, I was slaughtering you. I saw in a dream I was slaughtering you. What do you think? What's your opinion? And he did, what sort of dad are you, man? You must be one crazy dad. Wanna slaughter me? No. Ismail alayhi salam didn't say that. Ya abati fal ma tu'mar. Father, do whatever you've been commanded. Satajiduni inshaAllah minas sabireen. And then when Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready, son was ready, laid him down. And when he was ready to slaughter him, Allah replaced Ismail alayhi salam, sent Jibreel, removed him, replaced him with a lamb and which was slaughtered. Then Allah blessed him with another son. وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقِ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah said to him, Allah is going to give him another son. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam returned to Sarah alayhi salam, then angels came down to give him the good news. And then the angels, they said, Allah is going to give you a son. So Sarah alayhi salam by this time had become very old. Ibrahim alayhi salam was already old as well. She'd become old. And Sarah alayhi salam said, when the angels told them, you are going to have a son. أَأَلِدُ أَنَا أَجُوزٌ وَهَذَا بَعْلِ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. Me in this old age, I'm going to give birth to a son. And my husband, he's already an old man. وَهَذَا بَعْلِ شَيْخٌ إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. What a strange affair. And the angels turned around and said, أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Are you surprised that Allah's will? مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlal bayt. Allah's mercy and blessings be upon you, O Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt means the people of the house. Any man, when he wants to set up his family doesn't begin with sons and daughters. Every man's family starts off with wife. Not unless you are like a man. Young man went to a sheikh, Hazrat, make dua, Allah give me a son. Ya Allah, give him a son. Few days later again, Hazrat, make dua, Allah, give me a son. Ya Allah, give him a son. Third time, Hazrat, make dua, Allah, give me a son. Young man, have you got married yet? If I was married, I wouldn't be coming to you, would I? So he wants a son without getting married. No, if you want a son, there's a procedure. Get married, mashallah, set up your house. Then when you get married, now that's when you are growing up, you are part of your parents' family. When you grow up, get married, you separate. Mama, since I've got married, I'm not blind, I'm not picking on you, but you don't stop picking on my wife. I've had enough. I'll come and see you, but I'm moving out. Thank you very much. I've had enough. And so the man, he moves out, starts up his own family. Now he has children, whatever. Now they are part of his family. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family started not with Hassan and Hussein and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Rasulullah's family started with when Rasulullah got married. First it was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. And Hazrat Khadija, Allah bless her, Allah elevate her status in paradise. What a woman she was. Allahu Rasulullah loved her so dearly. Later on when Allah blessed Rasulullah with other wives, and his wives are our mothers, they deserve our utmost love and respect. Allah says in the Quran about them, النَّبِيُّ وَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The Nabi, the Prophet is more dear to believers than even themselves, and his wives are their mothers. We should all respect our mothers, wherever we are. Even if your mothers and fathers are not Muslim, they still deserve your love and respect. This is one of the fundamental commands of Allah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Along with the worship of Allah, respect of your parents. وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Don't worship anyone but Allah, but show immense kindness to your parents, especially when they grow old. They lose it a bit. It's normal. If they've lost it a bit and you think they've lost the plot, my old man's on my case 24/7, be careful how you address them. If you address them in this manner, be prepared to be addressed even in a worse fashion. You say something to them, your children will treat you one more worse. One guy had enough of his father, tried his best. In our culture, Pakistani culture, especially the village culture, strange affairs. One guy talking to his son, Abba tenu kinni wari aakhya jisle char bande baithe ho unta gal na kiti kar. You know, father, how many times have I told you, when there are five men sitting, then you shouldn't talk. So what's he saying? He's not a man anymore. Allahu Akbar. So young man, he took his father to dump him into a river. Chose a nice spot. About to push him. Son, don't push me here. Why, dad? Because that's where I brought my dad. So if you want to push me here, get ready to come here yourself. How you treat your parents is how they will treat you. Don't even raise your voice at your parents. Talk to them nicely, politely, softly. Allahu Akbar. And when they grow old, look at them. Give them all the love you can. Today we are living in strange modern times when everything is advertised with women. A man goes out to the masjid, first billboard, whoa man, even an old haji sahab, whoa, might be tempted to take a second look. Make him feel 40 years younger. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. When you see anything inappropriate, lower your gaze. And that is good for you. That will keep you safe. Look at anything and you stare. Ooh. On the day of Qiyamah, hot rods will be poked into such eyes. But you go home and that old woman, she can't see properly, dentures falling out, can't speak properly, can't hear properly, bent arch, arched back. Don't look away from her. Look at her and smile at her. Each time you look at her and you smile, mummy, it's me, your little Muhammad. Come home to see you, mashallah, mummy. Give her a smile. Each time you look at her, smile. What did the Prophet say? What reward will you get? Hajj and Umrah. And if somebody looks at them 100 times, mashallah. Because where the reward is coming from, there's no shortage there. Take as much as you like by being kind to your parents. But somebody, Allah forbid, go home. Allah forbid, may Allah never bring such a day to any Muslim, let alone a Muslim, even any kafir, where he goes home and says to his mother, old woman, I don't care, you're not my mother anymore. She might be your mother, she might not be your mother. Many homeless people adopt children as well. And so they grow up, mashallah, addressing this woman as a mother. She might be your mother, she might not be your mother. I'm not saying any of you should do that. Please don't go home and say to your mothers, you are not my mother. If you have a mother, love her, make the most of her. Yes, you can get another wife. And I'm not saying divorce her either. You can get another wife, you can have children, Allah will bless you, but you are not going to get another mother or a father. Whatever you have, that's the only parents you're going to have, so make the most of them. Allahu Akbar. Allah forbid any man go home and say to the mother and father, woman, you are not my mother anymore. Very bad. Badbakht. Very sad, very bad. But that won't make you a kafir. But any man, any supposed Muslim who claims to believe in Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he might claim to read the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or with whatever addition. And some do. For us sitting here, at least, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is sufficient. Others have a very long kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Imamul Muttaqeen Aliyun Waliyullah. They have long kalimas, whatever, subhanallah. Anybody who go home and say, I don't care, you are not my mother. Very bad. Extremely bad. But it won't make you a kafir. But anybody who says, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Umme Habiba is not my mother, Safiya, Zainab, Maymuna, any one of them is not my mother. Wallahi al-Azim! I swear by the Almighty who holds my life in His hands, that person automatically, immediately will become a kafir because Allah says they are your mothers. So what do you know about Aisha, Hafsa, Umme Habiba and others? Wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no man in this world like Muhammadur Rasulullah. And there is no woman in this world like the women Allah chose to share the life of His beloved Prophet. And alas, this is not my emotional rant. Allah says this in the Quran. Ya Nisa al-Nabiyyi, lastunna ka ahadim minan Nisa. O you women of the Prophet, you are not like any other woman in the world. Allah says, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin. You know what Khabith means? I see a few Pakistanis sitting here. They know what Khabith means. I don't know if our other brothers, South African brothers, know what Khabith means. You know what Khabith means? Khabith means filthy. Filthy women for filthy men. Filthy men for filthy women. Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin. Wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat. This is a verse of Quran. Khabithat, filthy women, lil-Khabithin. For filthy men. وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ Filthy men for filthy women. وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ Good women for good men. Good women for good men. وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ Good men for good women. Words of Allah, as revealed in the Quran in Surah An-Nur. Good men for good women, good women for good men. There is no one better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Rasulullah is the best, which he is, then there is no better women than the women Allah chose for His beloved Prophet to share His life with. They are our mothers. So when we address them, we should address them with love, with respect, with honor. But the Shia community in London, on the 17th of Ramadan is a very special day. You know what happened on the 17th of Ramadan? Most people know. The day of Badr. But 17th of Ramadan is also the day when Aisha radiallahu anha left this world. Some of you might know, some of you might not. And so the Shias, it's been a number of years now, every year, 17th of Ramadan, they celebrate not the victory in Badr, but the death of Hazrat Aisha. Chanting slogans, Aisha Finnar, Aisha Finnar, Na'uzu Billah. It's on the YouTube. I'm not making this up. If you want a link, you can see. Just type in Aisha in hell and it'll come up in YouTube. Na'uzu Billah min Thalik. I said to a Shia, I pray, Ya Allah, if you have the nerve, come in the open and discuss. It's easy to sit on Facebook and WhatsApp and chant away. But if you have the nerve, come in the open, discuss face to face. I said, Ya Allah, take me wherever Aisha is. And if you hate Aisha, then Aisha is in Jannah. Then pray to Allah, Allah take you in the opposite place. But I pray, Ya Allah, take me, give me space under the feet of my mother Aisha. Rasulullah was asked, Ayyun nasi ahabbu ilayk? Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? Who do you love the most? Rasul, is this in Bukhari? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says, I asked the Prophet of Allah, who do you love the most? Ayyun nasi habbu ilayk. Rasulullah said, Aisha. Without hesitation, Aisha. Rasulullah never made a secret of the fact that he loves Aisha. Then he said, minar rijali ya Rasulullah. He said, for what I meant was from the men. He said, Abuha, her father. So Rasulullah never, once Azwaj Mutahharat had an issue and they wanted to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something which they themselves couldn't. So they came up to Zat Fatima and said, Fatima, Rasulullah never says no to you. So why don't you put our case to the Prophet? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Fatima, when it comes to Aisha, don't say anything to me. Don't you like the woman your father loves? Do you not love the woman your father loves? When it comes to Aisha, don't say anything to me. When people slandered Aisha radiallahu anha, we might turn a deaf ear, come in this way, go out the other way. But when people objected to, raised fingers, said something which wasn't true about Aisha, even Rasulullah was worried for days. Nobody knew what to say. Allah came to her defense. You and I might not want to defend her honor, the honor of our mother, but Allah came to her defense. Allah revealed Quran. وَلَوْلَا إِسْمِعْتُمُوا وَقُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Why didn't you say when you heard that this is rubbish? Whatever anybody barks at Aisha is all barking and it's all rubbish. You think Allah will allow a woman who wasn't totally pure through and through, honest, truthful, pious, to share the life of his beloved Prophet? When you want a wife, you want a good wife. When you want to marry your daughter, you want to marry her to a good man. When you want to marry a son, you want to marry him to a good woman. You think Allah would choose anyone but the best for his beloved Prophet? Allah chose the best. So I was saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Aisha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had a very special relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha, oh Aisha, wouldn't you like it if you were to die before me? She said, Ya Rasulullah, well, why do I want to die before you? You know, sometimes when you are frank and you casual, shows the true depths of the relationship. And so the Prophet said, oh Aisha, wouldn't you like it if you were to die before me? Ya Rasulullah, why do I want to die before you? Well, if you were to die before me, I will pray your janazah, lower you in the grave, pray for your forgiveness. What more do you want? And Aisha radiallahu anha turned around and said, well, Ya Rasulullah, but if I was to die before me, you'll just bring another woman to sleep in my bed. Who can say that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except someone who was very, very close and very dear to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so frank. So was it Aisha radiallahu anha. Once Rasulullah remembered as the Khadija, tears began to roll down his cheeks. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, you still haven't forgotten that old woman? Hazrat Khadija, Rasulullah, when he married, he was 25, she was 40, 15 years older than him. And a woman already 40 with some so many children already. But Rasulullah married her. And she herself offered to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah honored her. She has three special qualities no other wife of Rasulullah had. She was the first of Rasulullah's wife. And first is always the first. You get over, they say, the first love, but you never forget it. So is it Khadija radiallahu anha, first wife of Rasulullah. And as long as she remained alive, almost 30 years. And people say Muhammad was a womanizer, na'uzubillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Christians, Western people, they objected the Prophet. He had so many wives. When does a man need a wife the most? When he's old or when he's young? When he's old, he can barely handle himself, let alone. Think back to your times. When did you want more? When you're young or when you're old? Was it too embarrassing even to confess? There's no woman here. Don't worry, man. Your wives are not here. Yeah. When Rasulullah was young, he managed with only one. 15 years older than him. As long as she remained alive, the Prophet didn't remarry. Only when she passed away. And there was much wisdom in the women Rasulullah married. Anyway, she was the Prophet's first wife. As long as she remained alive, the Prophet didn't marry another woman. Only when she passed away, the Prophet married. And then all of the Prophet's children was through as Khadija, except as Ibrahim. So the Prophet ﷺ said of Aisha, when people rejected me, she accepted me. When people rejected me, we Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in light of Tafsir, Mufassirin, what they've stated, we believe Abu Talib died without accepting Islam. Shias, they say Abu Talib alayhi salam. They say, how can it be that a man who served the Prophet so much not be a Muslim? They also believe that Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Shia. There's a verse in the Quran, Surah Al-Safat, the surah which comes after Surah Yasin. It's Al-Safat. And there Allah is describing Nuh alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. And then Allah goes on to say, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. From his group, from his offspring, progeny, awlad mein, offspring, his group, his followers, was Ibrahim. But the word used is Shia. So there are many clips on YouTube. The Shia scholars, they say, see, even Ibrahim was a Shia. But Allah says in the Quran about Fir'aun as well, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَىٰ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. Fir'aun's children, all of Fir'aun's all were also Shia. So the Shias come from Fir'aun. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha, when people rejected me, she accepted me. When I had nothing, she put everything that she owned in my service. Allah give me awlad through her. She is the mother of my children. How can I forget her? Allah used to send salam for Khadija radiallahu anha. Then he married other women as well. Hazrat Aisha, Sauda, Hafsa, and others. They were all wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there came a time. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dedicated his life and to spread the word of Allah. And then, whatever, there came a time when Sahaba, their finances improved. They would send presents to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah would distribute whatever he got to the needy. And that, but at one stage, Allah has mentioned this in the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab. The wives of Rasulullah came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, we've been doing all this now. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you prosperity and things come. And you just, you know, let them be and distribute them to other people. It'd be nice if you saved something for us as well. And Allah didn't like what was said. So Allah revealed verses in the Quran, given an ultimatum to the wives of Rasulullah. Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajik. Oh my Prophet, tell your wives. إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. If you want the worldly life and its glamour. إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَلَيْنَ. Come. أُمَتِّيَكُنَّ. I'll give you whatever you want. But then, وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. I'll let you be. In a good way, I'll just let you be. You go your way, I go my way. This is what Allah says. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. If you got wives, either treat them well. If you don't get along well, then separate on good terms. Why do you want to be hell for each other? Many people, they have wives, they don't get along, they don't treat them well, but they won't let them go either. They want to punish them, teach them a lesson. They won't give them expenditure, they won't look after them, they won't go and visit them, they'll marry another woman, but they'll keep this one suffering. I want to make her suffer. Teach her a lesson. Why the hell do you want to teach her a lesson? You need to learn a lesson yourself. If you can't get along with her, let her go her own separate way. Let her make her own life. If you want to marry another woman, go and marry another woman. No stopping. But let her be.
People say Abu Bakr upset Fatima radiallahu anha. Well, as Ali radiallahu anhu upset Fatima many times as well. Once he wanted to marry the daughter of Abu Jahl. And as Fatima, when she found out, whoa. She picked up Hassan and Hussein straight to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house. When any husband and wife have an argument, what happens? She picks up a bag, I'm going to my mama's. The mummy wasn't there, obviously the Khadija had passed away. On WhatsApp, sometimes many messages come around, some humorous, some rubbish usually, but some good ones. One man and a woman had an argument. The woman, she phoned her mother. Mom, I'm coming to stay over. Why? We had an argument. I just can't stay here. She said, no, daughter. Honey, you stay there, honey. I'm coming over to teach him a lesson. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she found out Hazrat Ali wants to marry another woman, daughter of Abu Jahl. So she picked up Hazrat Hassan and Hussein and straight. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house was only a few yards up the road, adjacent to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hujarat. Hujarat. Hujarat means hujra, huts. MashaAllah. Many people have bungalows, palaces, no harm, but Rasulullah had a hujra, had a hut. And that was the Prophet's, MashaAllah. Dining room, sitting room, bedroom, everything was there. Hujra, hujra mubarakah. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Fatima. Initially when Hazrat Ali got married, he was at a distance and Rasulullah wanted Hazrat Fatima's house to be near. One sahabi, he owned all the adjacent areas, had houses. He heard Rasulullah wants Hazrat Fatima's house to be near. So he came to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I've heard you want Fatima's house close to you. You know, Ya Rasulullah, nobody else's houses are close to your house than my houses. Whatever you choose for yourself is more dear to me than what you leave for me. Ya Rasulullah, please accept any of them. Rasulullah gave dua, accepted one of the houses for Hazrat Fatima. So she moved in near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah came home after one of the salats. The Fatima sitting there. Fatima, what happened? Ali wants to marry another woman. Ya Rasulullah went straight to the masjid. I won't stop Ali from marrying another woman. But if Ali wants to marry another woman, daughter of the enemy of Allah, he will have to divorce the daughter of Rasulullah first. Ulama have said that this is khususiyat of Ahl Bayt. That if anybody marries a daughter of the Prophet of Allah, he can't marry any other woman as long as she's alive. Reason being, co-wives often have an argument. And when they have an argument, they don't just keep it to the other woman. They start cursing the mother and the father and everybody. Your father, your mother didn't teach you any manners. They didn't give you anything, so and so, blah, blah. And then she returns the serve extra hard. She says one thing and she says 10 times more. So if ever daughter of a prophet was married to a man who had another wife and they had an argument and the other woman would end up cursing the parents of Hazrat Fatima, where will that leave her? She will go straight to Jahannam. So Allah with His divine mercy knows our weaknesses. So anybody marries a daughter of a prophet, he can't marry any other woman as long as she's in his marriage. So the Prophet said, if Ali wants to marry another woman, he can marry another woman, but he'll have to divorce Fatima first. When Hazrat Ali found out Rasulullah is angry, he abandoned the plans. I would rather keep Allah and His Rasul happy. Allahu Akbar. So people say Abu Bakr upset Fatima. Abu Bakr didn't upset Fatima. It wasn't Abu Bakr's fault. But this was Ali's deliberate idea. But then he even abandoned it. We don't blame him. It can happen to any man. Even a man and a woman, the best couple. Which couple can be better than Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhuma? But even if they had an argument, but they came back together. So if a man has another plan, let him handle another plan. But if you've got some other plans, then you want to marry another woman, you don't want to keep one, then don't keep her, let her be. So Allah said to the wives of Rasulullah, if that's what you want, come, we'll give you whatever you want. Then you go your separate way. My Prophet, Allah said, I will make other arrangements for him. And then, but, وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِيدِنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا, if you want Allah and His Rasul, وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, and the Akhirat, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَدَّى لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, Allah has prepared immense reward for your good deeds. Rasulullah summoned his wives, Azwaj Jumutaharat, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and gave them the ultimatum Allah had given, and said, think about it, whatever you want. Do you want the worldly life? We'll give you whatever, or you want Allah and His Rasul. And when the Prophet gave them ultimatum, other wives of Rasulullah were more mature in age. Hazrat Aisha was still young. When he came to Hazrat Aisha, the Prophet said, Aisha, go home. Don't rush into any decision. Consult your mother and father. Take your time. Don't rush into any decision. Then consult them. When you've come to a decision, then let me know. Hazrat Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't need to consult my mother and father. I am not prepared to give anything or anyone preference over you. I would rather be with you. The same thing was said by other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They apologized for their request. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we would rather remain in your marriage. We are happy with the way things are. And we are sorry for what we said. Allah revealed verses, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. From لا يحل لك النساء من بعد ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج ولا واجبك حسنهن إلا ما ملكت يمينك. What has happened before has happened. When Rasulullah wanted to marry any woman, he could. If any woman offered herself to Rasulullah, he could accept. But Allah said, not after today. No, no. After today, you can't marry any other woman. And not only can you not marry any other woman, you can't release these from your marriage either. You have to stick it with them. You can't marry anybody else. You can't divorce any one of these. لا يحل لك النساء من بعد ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج ولا واجبك حسنهن. Even if you find other women very appealing and attractive, enough. So these are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah goes on to say, long passage. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت. Allah wants to remove all impurities from you, O the Ahle Bayt. When this ayat was revealed, Allah was already talking about someone. Hassan and Hussein, Fatima and Ali, radiallahu anhu, were not part of this, the implication of the Ahle Bayt at the time. So from verse 28 up to 33, she has only quoted that small segment of verse 33 and said, this is Ahle Bayt. When Allah revealed these verses, because any daughter is part of her parents' family, her father's family, as long as she remains in the father's house until marriage. When she gets married, then what happens? She moves out to her husband's family house and becomes part of his family. To be part of his family, all her affairs become the responsibility of the father. Similarly, with the Fatima radiallahu anha, when she was part of the Prophet, she was living with the Prophet, naturally all her affairs were the Prophet's responsibility. But when she was married, moved in with Hazrat Ali, then she became part of his family, as is the case with most people. When they get married, what happens to the woman that they marry? Does she come and move in with the boy's family, or does the boy move in with the girl's family? Usually, although it happens sometimes. Many people, they say, Maulana, you know, if you know a very rich girl, mashallah, the only girl in the family, please let me know. But normally, the girl moves in with the man, becomes part of his family. When they have children, then they become the responsibility of the man. So the girl becomes the man's family. Part of his family. But because Rasulullah loved Fatima radiallahu anha so dearly, all his sons had passed away at an early age. Qasim, Tayyib, Tahir, Abdullah, all over. And then Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Zainab at the time was probably alive radiallahu anha. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then prayed to Allah to allow Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha to be continued to be considered as part of his family. So Rasulullah summoned Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, and then put a robe or put a shawl or a sheet over them and said, Ya Allah, Allahumma ha'ulai ahle bayti. Ya Allah, these are my ahle bayt. In other words, Ya Allah, these are also my Ahle Bayt. Not that these are the only Ahle Bayt. Because from verse 28 to 33, it's all talking about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when Allah said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذِبَنْكُمُ رِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, Allah wants to purify you, a total purification. So from the beginning till the end, the whole verse is about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ahle Bayt are first and foremost the wives of Rasulullah, as was the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Rasulullah's wish for Allah to consider Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum to be the part of his family as well. Allah accepted, Allah allowed. So Rasulullah used to treat them as part of his family as well. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Allahu Akbar, the Shias, they also say, Rasulullah on many occasions, what time is Isha Salah, Shaykh? What time is Isha? 8 o'clock. Sorry? 8 o'clock Azan. So the Jamaat is 8:15. So even if Azan is about 7 past 8, doesn't matter. Inshallah, you can still pray 8:15. Azan and Sunnah, inshallah, there will be time. Inshallah, we'll try and finish in time, inshallah. So stay relaxed, don't get too worried. They say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, O people, I leave behind you two things, the book of Allah and my family. Hold on to them, follow them. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind his family to be followed, what does that mean? That Rasulullah did not teach anybody else. If Allah ever wanted the people to follow only the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then as you know, historically, globally, worldwide, they say it runs in the family. Have you heard the expression? Bi khandani sho pesha, runs in the family. Passed down from generation after generation. And who generally carries the family trade forward? The boys or the girls? Farmers, carpenters, builders, shopkeepers. I know things are changing, especially even in South Africa, mashallah. The women are taking the lead, but generally, historically, the family business is passed on from generation to generation through who? Sons or daughters? Would it not have been logical if Allah wanted Rasulullah's family to continue his mission? Allah gave Rasulullah sons. Allah would have kept at least one alive after Rasulullah. So when Allah gave Rasulullah sons, Allah fulfilled his wish. Any man's wish to have a son, as Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted son as well. He made a dua, Allah gave him a son. Rasulullah, his beloved prophet, Allah gave him sons. Rasulullah enjoyed that experience of growing up, mashallah, holding his sons. But Allah had a special plan for him. Allah wanted to make him Khatamun Nabiyeen, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Allah gave Rasulullah sons, but took them all away at a young age. If Allah had wanted Rasulullah's mission to be carried forward through his family, then would it not have been fitting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Allah to at least spare one of his sons to continue his legacy afterwards? Then Allah gave Rasulullah daughters. And the Shias also want to believe as though Hazrat Fatima were Rasulullah's only daughter, because she was married to Hazrat Ali. And the fact is, yes, Hazrat Ali is special, very noble. He's not ordinary Sahaba. No Sahabi was ordinary anyway. Every Sahabi was special. But Hazrat Ali was extraordinary Sahabi. And one of his distinguished honors was, he was married to a daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Hazrat Ali was married to one daughter, Hazrat Usman was married to two daughters. Zunnurain. Apart from Usman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, there hasn't been any other man in the entire history of humanity and prophets who was married to two daughters of a prophet. Two daughters of a prophet. Such was his esteemed honor. But because Rasulullah gave two daughters to Usman, so they work as though they want to cut the whole leaf out. So they reject and deny that Rasulullah had any other daughters. But the Quran says otherwise. Allah has stated in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab again, Ya Yuhanna, and incidentally Shias believe that Surah Al-Ahzab was the longest surah in the Quran. But Sahaba got rid of it. The Quran that we have, which is the only Quran, which is the longest surah? Surah? 2.5 juz almost. Surah Ahzab is only half a juz, half a sipara. So if it was longer than Surah Baqarah, that it means it was at least 2.5 siparas. But it's only half sipara, so they say there were a lot of extensive rules and regulations and ahkam regarding the family of the Prophet, but the companions got rid of them all. That is not the case. Allah has revealed Quran, Allah has divinely, personally taken responsibility to preserve it. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Allah says, I've revealed it and I'm responsible for it, for its preservation. And in Surah Al-Ahzab, just as the verse of purification, tathir of Ahlul Bayt is there, so is this verse, Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa banatik. O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters. Don't you think Allah knows Arabic? Many of us try, but many of us don't know. We've learnt English and other languages, but we don't want to learn Arabic. Don't learn Arabic. It will get in the way of learning better English. Arabic, Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah was an Arab, Quran is in Arabic. The language of Jannat is? Don't ask me the language of Jahannam. They said, don't ask me any questions, I'll tell you no lies. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Majority of the people will end up in Jahannam. So the language spoken by the majority, you can assume is the language of Jahannam. So you can assume yourself what language is spoken by most of the people and globally. But anyway, that's only neither here nor there. So Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa banatik. Tell your wives and your daughters. In most languages, singular and plural. Daughter, daughters. House, houses. Friend, friends. Masjid, masjids. But in Arabic, there's singular, there's plural. But there's two types of plural. One is a dual, special plural for two. And then the actual plural implies on at least three or more. So don't you think Allah knows Arabic? If Fatima radiallahu anha was Rasulullah's only daughter, Allah would have said, Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa bintika. Tell your daughter. And if Rasulullah would have had two daughters, Allah would have said, can anyone speak Arabic better than Allah? Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa bintayka. But Allah doesn't say that either. Allah says, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ. Banat in Arabic, in any dictionary you can check, is applicable and implied on at least three. So the Quran wants you to believe, oh you Sunni, the one who doesn't want to know what is Quran and Sunnah. The Quran wants you to know Rasulullah had at least three daughters. One was married to Hazrat Ali, two were married to Hazrat Usman, one was married to Hazrat Khadija's nephew Abu al-As ibn Rabi, who was Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So, if Allah had wanted Rasulullah's family to continue after him, Allah would have kept the Prophet's sons alive, at least one of them, or the Prophet's daughters, and they all passed away in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifetime. Firstly, Hazrat Ruqayya was married to Hazrat Usman. Then Rasulullah gave him his other daughter. First was married, Hazrat Zainab was married to her nephew, as Hazrat Khadija had wanted. She had a longing, as many women do, they want their daughters to be married to their nephews. Hazrat Khadija had a similar wish. Rasulullah did interfere. He agreed with permission from Allah, obviously. And she was married to Abu al-As. He wasn't a Muslim at the time. He became a Muslim after Badr. But nevertheless, Rasulullah praised him that he was a good son-in-law. He never insulted Rasulullah. Always showed respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah eventually blessed him with Islam as well, and he accepted Islam. Then Rasulullah, in the meantime, married Hazrat Ruqayya to Hazrat Usman. She passed away when the Prophet had gone to Badr. When the Prophet came back, she had passed away, and the Muslims had just finished burying her as well. Rasulullah had left Hazrat Usman behind to look after Hazrat Ruqayya. And then Rasulullah was sitting with his companions, with Hazrat Usman, and seeing Hazrat Usman didn't have a wife at the time. So he was feeling a bit lonely, a bit down, that his wife had passed away. And then Rasulullah said to Usman, Usman, Jibreel has just come down and told me that Allah is telling me to give you my other daughter in marriage.
Allah is telling me to give my other daughter in marriage to you. So he gave Hazrat Usman Umme Kulsoom. Hazrat Fatima in the meantime was left. Hazrat Abu Bakr proposed for her as well, and Rasulullah didn't accept the proposal. Then Hazrat Umar tried his luck. Rasulullah didn't accept that either. Then Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma realized that Rasulullah wants somebody else. So they said to Ali, and in the meantime Hazrat Usman was already married to Hazrat Umme Kulthum. He couldn't ask for Hazrat Fatima's hand in marriage because it wasn't permissible to have two sisters, especially like I've explained. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they said to Ali, Ali, why don't you go and try your luck? Well, I haven't got anything. Don't worry, just go. See, try your luck. We are here to look after you and to support you. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu went, made a proposal. Rasulullah accepted. And Hazrat Ali came out all smiles, like any young man would who's passed the interview. MashaAllah. An interview in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his most beloved daughter. You can see Hazrat Ali how happy he must have been. But Rasulullah had said, Ali, what have you got? Hazrat Ali was a fighter soldier. And he had a sword, his armor and shield. And you know, they say, how many people did Abu Bakr and Usman ever kill? One of the things they say, the other buddies, how many people did Abu Bakr and Usman ever Umar ever kill in jihad, in battles? Look at how many Ali killed. If killing people is a measure of a nobility, how many did Rasulullah ever kill? You know, in the battlefield, there are certain, mashallah, soldiers who are in the front line often. Who are in the front line? Who are in the front line? The young soldiers, the commanders, the brigadiers, the colonels, the generals, do they go in the front line? They dictate the terms from behind. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was himself the leader of the ummah. Abu Bakr and Umar were always by his side. Advising, add advises. Rasulullah said, I have two advises, two in the heavens and two on earth. Four advises. Two in the heavens, two on earth. My advisors in the heavens, Jibreel, Mikael. My advisors on earth, Abu Bakr and Umar. People say, Ali, why do we love Ali? They also say. They, huh? They? They say, why do we love Ali so much? Because Ali never ever turned his back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and didn't ever abandon him, was always by his side throughout his life. And had Ali ever abandoned Rasulullah, we would have abandoned him as well. I say, no problem. We don't deny, we accept, we respect Hazrat Ali for the fact, we salute him with both hands, that he never abandoned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life, was always by his side. But what can we do? Abu Bakr and Umar didn't abandon Rasulullah even after their death. They are with Rasulullah even now. 1400 years it's been. Till Qiyamah they will be with him. And then rise with him and be with him on the pond and beyond. Rasulullah was going with Abu Bakr on the right, Umar on the left, put his hand on their shoulders. هَكَذَا نُبَعْثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah had how many daughters? From the Quran at least three, but we know from Sirah he had four. They all passed away. Hazrat Ruqayya first, then Umm Kulthum, then Hazrat Zainab also passed away 8th year after Hijrah. When she was migrating and she mounted the camel, someone from Makkah threw a spear and hit her through her stomach, pierced her stomach. She was expecting, caused her to have a miscarriage, caused severe bleeding. The wound healed on surface, but internally didn't heal. So she suffered bleeding throughout her life. Some years later, she passed away. Rasulullah personally lowered her in her grave, made dua for her, stood by making dua for a long time. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, you made dua so long. She was very weak. She suffered so much for Islam. She was my favorite daughter. And I feared for her that the grave might squeeze her and she might not be able to withstand it. So I prayed to Allah. Allah accepted my dua. So all the Prophet's daughters, can you imagine? Your mother passing away, not even seeing your father, then your mother passing away, then your grandfather passing away, and then you get married and your sons pass away one after the other, one, two, three, then your daughters, one, two, three, after you, you know, one after the, then your wife passing away, your uncle passing away. Allahu Akbar, how much suffering Rasulullah went through. So when Rasulullah left this world, only Fatima radiallahu anha was alive. And how long did she live after the Prophet? And most of that time was spent in illness, on bed. And do you know who used to tend to her? Nursar. Hazrat Fatima was ill. Like any woman who's ill, lying on bed, she needs nursing. She needs assistance. Do you know who used to tend to Hazrat Fatima when she was ill? And when Hazrat Fatima realized she would soon be breathing her last, who did Hazrat Fatima say, should wash me and coffin me? The wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Asma bint Umays. And they say Abu Bakr and Umar, they oppressed the Ahlul Bayt. Well, if they had been oppressors, do you want the wife of an oppressor to wash you when you're dying? And then when the janazah was prepared, they say that Fatima radiallahu anha, I left a wish that I don't want Abu Bakr and Umar to even know of my death. Well, Abu Bakr's wife is giving her ghusl. How can it be that Abu Bakr doesn't know Hazrat Fatima has passed away if his wife is giving her ghusl? How can it be? And Abu Bakr lives right next to the masjid as well. And the janazah is prayed. How can it be that Abu Bakr didn't know? Abu Bakr did know. And Abu Bakr came for the janazah. And janazah is laid, ready to be prayed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu put Hazrat Ali forward. Ali, please, she's your wife, daughter of Rasulullah. You pray her janazah. Abu Bakr, when you are present, how dare anybody step in front of you? When Rasulullah was alive, this is when Rasulullah was in Masjid Aqsa. Ibrahim alayhi salam is there, Musa alayhi salam is there, Isa alayhi salam is there. How dare can even a prophet step in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When everybody is there, Hazrat Ali is there, Hazrat Umar is there, Hazrat Usman is there, but Rasulullah pointed who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali said, Ali, Abu Bakr, I know. Rasulullah put you forward, I can't go ahead of you. So it's proven, Hazrat Abu Bakr led the janazah of Hazrat Fatima. And if he was enemy, would Hazrat Ali have allowed Abu Bakr? Hazrat Fatima passed away, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu needed another wife obviously. As long as Hazrat Fatima was alive, he couldn't marry another woman. Now Hazrat Fatima had passed away, Musaylima Kazab declared himself to be a prophet. Hazrat Abu Bakr sent Khalid ibn Walid to deal with him. He was defeated, he was killed. Many people were taken as captives, some men, some women. When they were brought to Medina, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he looked at them. One woman took his gaze and he didn't choose her for himself. He said, Ali, take this woman. I'm hopeful Allah will give you barakah. Hazrat Abu Bakr married Hazrat Ali. One of his first things to do, that when things calm down, one of the first things he did was to give Hazrat Ali a wife. When Hazrat Hassan and Hussein reached the age where they could be married, the Persians were defeated. Many people were brought as captives, men and women. Among them, the Persian princess. Persian princes were brought to Medina. Umar radiallahu anhu chose the princess of Persia for the prince of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Gave Shahrbano, the princesses of Persia, in the marriage of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. And all the subsequent imams that the Shias regard as imams, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafir Sadiq, Musa Kazim, Ali Raza, Muhammad Taqi, Ali Raki, Hassan Askri. And then the 5-year-old boy who vanished into the cave and still lives in the cave. Someone who's been living in a cave is a? The caveman. There wasn't a caveman. Because Imam Hassan Askari Rahmahullah did not have a son. So when I say the caveman, there isn't such a person. But they say he vanished into the cave and he's still hiding, too scared to come out. They are all descendants
children of the woman Hazrat Umar gave. Hazrat Umar gave Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr gave Hazrat Ali's wife. Hazrat Umar gave Hazrat Hussein's wife. And then Abu Bakr, son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, one of his daughters he gave to Hazrat Hassan to be one of his wives. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu had number of wives. Most Sahaba used to have number of wives. Many people want number of wives, but they can't handle even one. But Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu had a number of wives. In Jilaul Ujun, Mulla Bakir Majlisi says Hazrat Hassan had 250 wives. But that's all an accusation, because they want to insult Hazrat Hassan. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, he had a number of wives, but not so many. If he had 250 wives, you can imagine how many children he would have had. But he only had about 10 children. So that proves Hazrat Hassan didn't have so many wives. But one of his wives was one of the granddaughters of Abu Bakr. Just as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave Rasulullah his daughter in marriage, Hazrat Aisha. Allah, people say they were enemies of one another. Allah says in the Quran, Mawlana also explained, is kuntum adaan, when you were enemies of one another, Allah put love in your hearts. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah put love in your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانَا. You became like brothers. Brothers care for each other. Brothers love one another. Brothers die for one another. The Quran says they were brothers. Shia says they were enemies. So who are you going to listen to? The Quran, or are you going to listen to these Shias? Hazrat Abu Bakr gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave his daughter Fatima to Hazrat Ali. I call it the circle of love. Circle. Hazrat Abu Bakr gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave his daughter Fatima to Hazrat Ali. And then just as Allah blessed Hazrat Ali and Fatima with Hassan and Hussein, Allah gave them two daughters as well. Two boys, two girls. Many people think one boy, one girl is enough. But Allah gave them two boys and two girls. They named one Zainab, one Umm Kulthum. Umm Kulthum and then Zainab. When Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, when she reached the age where she could be married, Hazrat Umar came up to Hazrat Ali. Ali, I'm already related to Rasulullah. My daughter is in the marriage of Rasulullah. I've heard Rasulullah saying, every relationship will not benefit except my relationship. So I want to strengthen my ties and bond with Rasulullah. I know, Ali, you've got a daughter. I know you might have other plans, but please, if you don't mind, I would like her hand in marriage. Hazrat Ali said, I had reserved her for my nephew, Abdullah bin Jafir. Hazrat Jafir radiallahu anhu was one of the brothers of Hazrat Ali. He was martyred in the Battle of Mutah. He had a son. He was very pious and very knowledgeable and very good. And he said, I have wanted to marry her to my nephew Abdullah. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu insisted, Ali, please, I am more worthy. I want to strengthen my ties with Rasulullah. And this, please, do me a favor. This is one of the ways. Please, allow me this honor. I feel more worthy of being your son-in-law and having the honor of marrying daughter of Rasulullah. Hazrat Ali agreed. And when he agreed, Hazrat Umar came out all smiled. People, congratulate me. Why? Ali has just agreed to give the granddaughter of Rasulullah in my marriage. Allahu Akbar. So Hazrat Umar gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Yes, Abu Bakr gave his daughter. Hazrat Umar gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave his daughter to Ali. Ali radiallahu anhu gave his daughter to Hazrat Umar. Just as Abu Bakr gave his daughter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr's descendants carried on giving daughters to the sons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their descendants. Many of us are Hanfi, some Shafi, some Maliki, some Hanbalis. Hanfis, they follow the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. Shafis follow the fiqh of Imam Shafi rahimahullah. Shias claim to follow the fiqh of Imam Jafir Sadiq. He is their central Imam. They say we follow the Ahl-e Bayt. But in Shia books, I can guarantee you, they say, well, what's wrong with you Sunni guys? What's wrong with the fact that you don't take any narrations from the Ahl-e Bayt? Well, if you think we don't take any narrations from the Ahl-e Bayt, we do. We take from all those Ahl-e Bayt. We take from Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Umm Salma, Umm Habiba, and all the wives of Rasulullah, including Hazrat Ali, and some from Hassan, and some from Hussein, because they were young. If you think you follow the mazhab of Ahl-e Bayt, how many narrations in your books from Hazrat Ali, from Hazrat Hassan, or Hussein, and Hazrat Fatima? Hardly any. 99% of the literature saying of Imam Jafar Sadiq and Imam Baqir, his father. And their fiqh supposedly is named Imam after Imam Jafar Sadiq. Imam Jafar Sadiq is their central Imam, their main Imam. And Imam Jafar Sadiq's mother, the wife of Imam Baqir, her name was Umm Farwa. Umm Farwa, alayha salam, rahimahullah, rather rahimahullah, she is the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr from her father and mother. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had five children, three sons, two daughters. Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr, Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. And then he had two daughters, Asma and Aisha. From Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, he had a daughter. One Hafsa married was at Hassan, and one he had a daughter, her name was Asma. Hafsa was married to Hassan, then Asma. And then one of his other son, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr had a son by the name of Qasim. Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, he was married to his cousin Asma bint Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr. Allah gave them a daughter. Her name was Umm Farwa. Umm Farwa is the mother of Imam Jafar Sadiq. So in the subsequent Imams, he is the sixth Imam, the mother of Imam Jafar Sadiq, the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr. So Imam Jafar Sadiq, Musa Kazim, Ali Raza, Muhammad Taqi, Ali Naqi, Hassan Askari, and the caveman, if we take him into account, but he didn't. So we say the six Imams, just as they have the blood of Rasulullah running in their veins, they have the blood and genes of Abu Bakr in their hand, in their veins. So just as Imam Jafar Sadiq used to say, just as I am hopeful in the intercession shafaat of Hazrat Ali, because he was my great 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 grandfather, I am twice as hopeful in the intercession of Abu Bakr, because from my mother's side he has given me birth in two ways. So just as Abu Bakr gave a daughter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, children of Abu Bakr gave their daughters to the descendants of Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave two daughters to Hazrat Usmana. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had two daughters. One's name was Fatima and one's name was Sakina. The two sisters were married to two brothers. Two sisters, granddaughters of Hazrat Ali. Daughters of Hazrat Hussein are granddaughters of Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Hassan Hussein is son of Hazrat Ali. So his daughters are granddaughters of Hazrat Ali. Fatima and Sakina, two granddaughters of Hazrat Ali, were married to two grandsons of Hazrat Usman. Hazrat Fatima bint Hussein was married to Abdullah bin Amr bin Usman, and Sakina bint Hussein was married to Zaid bin Amr bin Usman. So people say, who would you give your daughters to? Somebody came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, had a neighbor, or in his neighborhood, there was a guy, he used to criticize Hazrat Usman. So as the word people put out to any Maulana sahab, somebody senior in the, if you know any good young man, and he has a daughter, please keep an eye open. If you know any good man, inshallah my daughter has reached the age to be married, inshallah, just let us know. So he came up to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and said, if you know a good man. So a few days later, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah went down to his house. He goes, I found a young man. I know a young man, very handsome. Hazrat Usman was very handsome. Very handsome, very rich, Hafiz-e Quran, very pious, and very full of haya, very modest and very pleasant young man. What more do we want? But there's only one problem, he's a Jew. Come on man, how dare you expect me to give my daughter to a Jew? And Imam Sahib said, you're not prepared to give your daughter to a Jew. Do you think Rasulullah would give two of his daughters to a Jew? So people, Allahu Akbar, who insult, they say, the Ahle Bayt, the Khulafa Rashideen, oppress the Ahle Bayt. In our language, there is a saying, when you hate someone, you say, get out of my sight. Have you heard that? Never ever want to see you again. And when Allah blesses people with children, many people name their sons after the people they hate or after the people they envy. What do you think? Someone wanted to name one of his sons with a J.
beginning with the name of Jay. So he looked into the Quran and picked out the word Jahim. Jahim is the name of Jahannam. He said, in the word of the Quran, it's in the Quran. Well, it's in the Quran, but it's a name for Jahannam. People look for, they just open the Quran and pick out any name. MashaAllah. In the Quran, there are names, Qarun, Haman, Abu Lahab. How many of you would name your sons Abu Lahab? So it's a name in the Quran, come on man. Qarun, it's in the Quran, Haman, Firaun. You want to name your sons Firaun, MashaAllah. He was a king. Qarun was a millionaire, billionaire. People want to name their sons after good people. So when Allah blessed Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu with sons, he was married to Hazrat Fatima. One year later Allah blessed them with a son. Rasulullah came, Ali, Mubarak, what do you want to name him? Hazrat Ali was a soldier. Harb ya Rasulullah. Harb means war, warrior. Mujahid, fighter. Rasulullah said, Hassan. Whatever you say, ya Rasulullah. 1 year later Allah gave them another son. Rasulullah came by. Ali, what do you want to name them this time? Harb ya Rasulullah. Last time I wanted, but you overruled. Rasulullah said, Hussein. Then Allah gave them two daughters, Umme Kulsoom, Zainab. Then Hazrat Fatima passed away. Allah gave Hazrat Ali other sons. Initially by a woman given to him by Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali named three of them Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Asghar. The big Muhammad, middle Muhammad, small Muhammad. Many of us, mashallah, want to name our children as good names, mashallah, but Muhammad, well, my wife's cousin's got a son by the name of Muhammad, or so and so, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ali named three of his sons Muhammad, Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Asghar. Two already mentioned, Hassan and Hussein. So how many is that? Three and two is? One Abdullah, one Ubaidullah. Five and two is? Seven. Altogether he had 14. Four he named after his family members. Jafar, Yahya, Aun and Abbas. How many is that? Seven and four is? Leaves how many from 14? Three. One he named Abu Bakr. One he named Umar. One he named Usman. Allah gave Hazrat Hassan sons. A number of sons. He gave them other names. But he named one Abu Bakr, one Umar. Allah gave Hazrat Hussein sons. He gave them other names. One Hussein radiallahu anhu named Abu Bakr, one Umar. Hazrat Hussein's son, Imam Zainul Abidin, they say. His real name was Ali, Ali bin Hussein. He's known as Zainul Abidin. Allah gave him a number of sons. One he named Umar, one he named Usman. Imam Baqir, they say, the father of Jafar Sadiq. His name was Muhammad bin Ali. Along with his daughters, he gave one name Aisha. Musa Kazim. He named one of his sons, Abu Bakr, one Umar. In 10 generations of descendants of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, you will find the names Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman and Aisha. If they didn't love them and envy them, would they keep these names after them? So Allah's Quran says, they loved each other. They became like brothers. History tells us, the way they treated each other, they envied them, they respected them. Finally, Muhammad bin Hanafiya, who's one of sons of Hazrat Ali, he says, I asked my father, his son is asking father Hazrat Ali, أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Who is the best man after the Prophet? Who's asking who? Hazrat Ali's son is asking Hazrat Ali, أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Hazrat Ali says, Abu Bakr. His son says, Thumma man, who next? He says, Umar. And then his son, Muhammad bin Hanafiya, he says, I was afraid. Wa khashitu an yaqula Usman, faqultu thumma anta. I was afraid if I ask him who next, he will say Usman. So he tried to put words into his mouth and said, was it you after Umar? And Hazrat Ali said, Ma ana illa rajulun min al-Muslimin. I was only an ordinary Muslim. That was his humility. But we don't believe he was ordinary. He was special in his own way. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was martyred, his body was waiting to be buried. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has reported this and is saying that I felt somebody put their hand on my shoulder. And he said, he could hear that man saying, Umar, I always knew you will be buried here.
Because when Rasulullah passed away, he was buried in the Hujra of Aisha. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr was buried there. Then when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, before he was martyred, he passed away, then he sent a message to Hazrat Aisha requesting there was space more for another grave. He said, please, if you allow me, I want to be buried next to my friends. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, well, because she was wife of the Prophet, daughter of Abu Bakr, it was her house. And she said, I had wanted to be buried there myself, but I give you preference over myself. So Hazrat Umar then said to his son Abdullah, well, I'm still alive, so perhaps because of my fear or whatever, she might have said yes. But after I die, and my body has been washed and coffined, ready to be buried, take my body, put it outside the house, ask her again. If she agrees willingly, then bury me next to Rasulullah, otherwise with the Muslims in the graveyard. So they were brought, and she agreed again. And so when the grave was being prepared and ready to be buried, the body was by the side of the grave. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas says, I felt someone put their hand on my shoulder and say, O Umar, I always knew you will be buried here. The very simple reason, so many times I had heard Rasulullah say, فَعَلْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ ذَهَبْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ. I did this and so did Abu Bakr and Umar. I saw and so did Abu Bakr and Umar. I did this and Abu Bakr and Umar. Even I thought and Abu Bakr and Umar thought the same. I had heard Rasulullah say, you with Abu Bakr and himself so many times, when Rasulullah was buried here and Abu Bakr was buried here, I always knew you would be buried here. Abdullah bin Abbas says, I turned around and it was Ali radiallahu anhu. He always had the utmost respect for Abu Bakr and Umar because they took care of them. Had they not taken care of them, would they have named their sons after them? May Allah guide us. May Allah have mercy upon us. May Allah grant us their love. May Allah grant us love for Rasulullah, for his family, for his wives, for his children, for his descendants, for his sunnah and for his ummah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad.